This is Toon Talk Weekly, episode 183. This week, Brad and I get our Kung Fu on when we watch an episode of Hong Kong Phooey.
Now I, Rhinestone Jim Shady, own every railroad car in the country.
Except for this here one. I'm putting the kibosh on you boxcar banners right here now.
Don't count on that, Hong Kong Phooey. Don't we have you somewhat outnumbered?
Only till I see how to handle a three-against-one situation. Ah, here it is. The triple tail dive with the turntable twist. And a rinky-dinky-doo to you. You fellas had enough?
Hey everybody, it's Tuesday once again. That means it's time for another episode of the weekly cartoon podcast, Toon Talk Weekly. That is, of course, this show, and thank you for joining us once again to talk about the world of cartoons. This voice you're hearing is Jake Williams. That's me. I've never referred to myself in the third person like that before, but I brought along my good buddy Brad Chmielewski to chat some cartoons this week. What's up, Brad?
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing well. Apparently, I talk in third person now.
Yeah. That's what happens, right?
That's sort of what starts happening. How you been, man?
Yeah, not too bad here. I've been watching a lot of Steven Universe. I've ran out of episodes on Hulu, and I've tried to use the Cartoon Network app, but I think it's even worse than the Nickelodeon app.
Is that well, that's saying a lot. But is that the only way you can watch the current seasons?
On the Cartoon Network app? I think so.
Oh, okay, so it's whatever like the current one is you can get to. It's sort of like even Hulu only has like a couple seasons of some stuff, and then the rest of them are just not available.
Yeah, it like is missing the last two episodes of season two, and season four is about to start of the show. So,
man, so you got some catching up to do.
I know, but I can't find it, so it's awful. Yeah.
Do you think you'll DVR or something the actual season four when it's on to like set up a recording just so you have them?
I don't really know how to use our TV.
If it's not on a service that I pay $10 a month for on the internet, I don't know how it works.
If I want to watch something on TV, I have to tell my wife, hey, can you find this? And then she does it. She knows how to use the TV. I do
it's
not.
It's so strange. Dude, I do the exact same thing. Anytime I'm like, hey, let's say like there's a wrestling special coming up. How do I record it? And then I hear back a couple minutes later, like, oh yeah, it's good. We'll record it. What did you do? What magic? What wizardry did you do just now?
Yeah, I think our Comcast backs, you can talk to it. So I just told her, I'm just waiting until I can say, record season four of Steven Universe. And it happens. Hey, yeah, hey TV, do this.
Hey, television guy. Cool. Well, in my world, well, I guess you kind of got the update, but I'm now at a standing desk. My setup at home has changed once again.
You sound so different standing.
Yeah, can you tell? It's just the whole room. It's all the extra energy I have, or maybe it's lack thereof.
Right.
The weirdest part is throughout the day, you know, this was my first, whatever, full work day on my feet. Anytime I'd sit down for a moment to, like, eat a little lunch or, like, my laptop is at a seated station still. I would sit and I'm like, man, sitting is amazing. Like, you appreciate sitting so much more when you don't do it all day.
Sure. Okay.
So I'm just going back to my days slinging sandwiches when I used to stand on my feet all day. It's kind of the same thing. I should get some meatballs going over here in the corner just so I got the same scent and everything.
There you go. That could work.
I have a sub shop / animation studio in my house. So with that, of course, this is Brad and I's means to watch more cartoons. Toon Talk Weekly, we're now on episode 183. We are barreling closer to 200.
Yeah, that's a lot of episodes.
We've been doing this quite a while. It's actually getting to the point now where I'm starting to choose cartoons that I've never heard of, but I'm like, all right, well, we got to do it because, man, I can't believe we've covered so many cartoons that are well known at this point. So we each and every single week, Brad and I try to choose a new cartoon to discuss. This week, we're going to be watching an episode of Hong Kong Phooey. And that is, we've already watched an episode of Hong Kong Phooey. This was a series that was produced by Hanna-Barbera and broadcast on ABC. It actually only had a run of 1 year, one season and 16 total episodes, from September to December 1974. So, man, back then they just like made a season and they're like, here you go. If it works good, let us know and we'll make another one.
Right.
That just seems like not a lot long airtime, but I guess if you break that up like into weeks, I guess technically you would have gotten them all in there. But
yeah, it's not too bad.
And the series was actually directed by Charles A. Nichols, who also looked up a little fun fact about this guy. He co-directed the film Charlotte's Web, famous animated film, and directed all three seasons of the Scooby-Doo show, which what I learned there was that there were only three seasons of Scooby-Doo.
The original Scooby-Doo, there was only three? Wow.
Yeah. That seems amazing because I feel like it's a show that was on all the time.
Well, there's a lot of variations of it too.
That's true. What's new Scooby-Doo, Scooby and Scrappy-Doo.
Pup named Scooby-Doo.
Scooby-Doo and then the Harlem Globetrotters show up. Like, that's when it gets a little weird.
I think there's Scooby-Dooby-Doo. I think there's that's its own spinoff.
I feel like there's a brand new one too where he looks like way not like Scooby-Doo. Like, he doesn't even look like the same breed of dog.
He's a cat now.
Yeah. Yeah. And we changed it up for the 20th century. Sure. So the show Hong Kong Phooey, it was said to be a parody of kung fu shows and movies at the time, I guess, which were popular in the mid to late 70s. And I guess I could see that. I actually got very much a Quick Draw McGraw vibe from this show.
Yeah, definitely.
And actually, I got to look this up because I forgot when we said Quick Draw was around, because it would make sense. It honestly felt like Quick Draw was earlier. Man, yeah. Oh, yeah. It was like the 60s. Okay. So it makes a lot of sense why it feels so much like it. It's like the same exact formula from the same company. Why not, right?
Yeah. But it makes sense that, I guess, these kind of movies got popular because you probably, if you were someone who rented movies, VHSs all the time, you probably quickly ran out of American or English movies quickly at that time. So you kind of were looking for other stuff. You wanted to almost one up your friends or find something different and be like, hey, look at this. I found this like crazy, hilarious version of this Japanese movie.
Sure. I mean, that makes a lot of sense. It wasn't as easy and as cheap, really, to make an independent film as it is today. Mm-hmm. Today, you could have a film available to rent either online or in a DVD store or whatever, if those are still around. For a few thousand dollars, like, you and your friends could shoot a film that was good enough to be there, right?
Right.
Back when there wasn't as much offering or as many offerings from Hollywood, maybe it was the kung fu stuff. But I could also see, like, I don't know, I can't speak for the 70s, but even growing up, man, karate in general was like cool. It was like a cool thing. So the fact that those would be translated into films, I don't know, maybe people just like that version instead of I don't know what other fighting type of movie was around.
In the 70s?
Yeah, sort of. So, and so let's describe the story, or what can you expect from episodes of Hong Kong Phooey? Some of this was ripped from my research, but I think I summarized it the best, quickest way I could. So the main character is Hong Kong Phooey. He's a clownishly clumsy secret identity of Penrod Penry Pooch. We'll just call him Penry from here on out. Who is working at a police station as a mild-mannered janitor, and he's always sort of gaining the ire or like not treated well by his sergeant. So it's Quick Draw McGraw again. It's, hey, there's this janitor that works at a police station, but he transforms into Hong Kong Phooey, the superhero guy who will like save the day.
Right. But he's also Inspector Gadget in a way. He's Mr. Magoo.
Yep. So, that sort of secret identity character, right?
A little bit.
But this one seems like a little bit too fortunate that he's like, I have a secret identity, but by the way, I also work at the police station where I get to hear any incoming transmissions to quickly get to places.
That seemed like it was probably the smart move for him. Like, I got this figured out.
Right. So Hong Kong Phooey himself transforms, how he becomes Hong Kong Phooey, I think is pretty much the same in every single episode. It's similar to what you would imagine with Superman, right? With his phone booth. However, Hong Kong Phooey leaps into a filing cabinet. He always ends up getting stuck, and then his striped cat Spot ends up letting him out. I think in this episode, there was a great cartoon gag with him jumping into the filing cabinet. However, the cat opens up an umbrella and Hong Kong Fooey falls out of the umbrella, which would not make any sense, but it's great. It just looks great. Once disguised, he gets equipped with the Fooey Mobile that can transform into a boat, a plane, or really anything depending on whatever circumstance he might need. Mm-hmm. And he also, the way he fights crime is very interesting because he doesn't necessarily know what he's doing.
He's got to look it up every time.
He always fights crime with a copy of the Hong Kong Book of Kung Fu. And usually any of his successes in any of his missions are thanks to total serendipity, something comical happening in his favor, or Spot the cat is the one who's usually saving the day.
Right.
What I found interesting about this show is this idea where the hero is a little bit dimwitted, is the one that doesn't really get, he gets the glory, but he didn't really do anything, and the sidekick is the one that does it. I feel like this was at a time where the cat Spot in this cartoon was not really fleshed out to be like a better character. Like, I don't want to say better, sorry, like, I don't know. Just there wasn't much more to it. Usually even the sidekick who gets pushed into the back when the other guy's getting all the credit for something, the sidekick is like, has some development there. You can kind of feel for that character a little bit. And it's just a cat.
Uh-huh.
Which is almost, it's almost like weird to compare them too, because here's a dog who can learn kung fu and do all these things, but I also have a cat that can't even talk and he's like better than me. Like, what does that say about how cool or how good Hong Kong Fooey is at saving the day?
Yeah, why does the cat stay with him? Like, I don't know, he should just go off on his own. I guess, why does Brain stay with Penny and Inspector Gadget, right?
How about why are Penry and Spot friends at all? It's a cat and a dog. That doesn't make any sense.
I guess so, yeah.
I don't know if that's why it's funny, right? And so our main characters are, of course, Penry, the mild-mannered janitor who transforms into Hong Kong Fooey. I think most of the time we'll probably refer to him as Hong Kong Fooey. Spot the cat, not a whole lot to add about him. Sarge is the seemingly always stressed out police sergeant at the station.
Whose proportions are drawn very strangely.
He very portly? I can't quite remember.
He has like really long but short legs. Like he has a very long, he has a long midsection.
Yeah, okay.
And his arms aren't long enough. His midsection is just too long. It's weird looking at him. It's a little creepy.
Well, man, that's what years on the force will do to you.
Your midsection just grows out.
Stretches you out in the wrong way. And the other character in the police station is typically Rosemary, who's the telephone operator. I can't quite remember the rhyme it was, but she answers the phone with a rhyme all the time, talking about how she is the classy lassie with the something chassis. I don't know.
The most, the host with the most kind of idea.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And the villain of this episode that we watched today, I just loved his name, Rhinestone Jim Shady.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Good old Train Baron. The episode we watched today is actually just one segment of the show, season 1, episode 13. It's called The Great Choo Choo Robbery. Some of this is streaming online. However, I can't vouch for like if it's on Hulu or Netflix. I didn't dive into those things. So, but who knows how much Hanna-Barbera puts out their stuff on services anyway. What I love about this episode that I chose was, again, like many episodes, I pick based on description and then watch it and hope that I like it. Man, we were due for a good old Train Robin cartoon.
A caper? We needed a caper.
We needed a caper. And I gotta say, this is real close. Feels real close to the Chip and Dale episode we watched, where they like stole pieces of a train or something to then like steal gold from a bank that happened to be next door to a pet store.
Oh, I vaguely remember that episode. I kind of... You know,
why do I also feel like the Speed Racer episode we watched was about this like massive train that he had to race?
Yeah, that was the Mammoth train or... Yeah.
Yeah, and it was like they were hiding gold in the plates of the train or something like that. Man, we were just due for a good old train caper. That's what, that's what I'm really excited about. So the episode starts with just various trains going throughout the land. And we're seeing that different pieces of each train are kind of just being straight up stolen in the most comically cartoon ways possible, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're being just, some of them are even like, oh, not just simple detachment, but like Well, a helicopter with a giant claw is just going to grab it and bring it wherever it wants to.
And the people that were like on the lookout or looking for this, they seem to have forgot helicopters are a thing. Or like, how's he going to rob this train? He's got to stop it and take this part off. Nah, he just lifts it out of the sky.
There's just, I don't know, there's just something so wholesome. I remember texting you last night when we were talking about this before we recorded and just saying, like, this show is great. Like, it just has those classic, like, yep, it's totally cool that a helicopter just picks up a moving train car because why not? That's funny. Like,
yeah.
It's just wholesome comedy to it. So after all of these pieces of train are starting to get taken, we actually meet Rhinestone Jim Shady for the first time, and he mentions that he's going to be the biggest train operator or train owner in the world, right? He's going to own all the trains, but he didn't do anything aside from steal the trains. Like, there's nothing he did to earn that.
We're right over the train now, Mr. Shady. Good, Rails, good. It's time to go fishing, Mr. Switch. Drop your hook.
Very good, sir. That's the 15th boxcar since breakfast. A good day's work, if I may say so, sir.
You certainly may say so. And we're just getting started. Since the owners won't sell me every railroad in the country, I am going to collect them piece by piece.
Right. He wasn't able to buy the railroads from whoever it was. So he's like, all right, well, if I can't buy them, I'm just going to steal them. That's kind of like classic bad guy mentality. Like, I tried to buy them. I tried to use all this money I had. You guys wouldn't give it to me, so now I have to steal it. It's like, this would just be solved if you just sold the bad guy the trains.
Yeah, create a monopoly, whatever. I love Rhinestone Jim Shady as just the, like, iconic or the epitome of just evil, I don't know, 20s Baron guy. Like, that's just what he seems like. I think he had a pocket watch. I'm sure he had a top hat, like, or a comb over or something.
One of,
like,
his henchmen is called Shift, right? Or Train Shift?
I think so. I think maybe it was just because he's featured in this episode.
The other guy might be called, like, Tracks or something, like Shift and Tracks.
Is this Ninja Turtles? Are we sure we're not? And so as we keep going, we realize that maybe the Baron's behind there. The Baron. I'm going to call him the Baron from now on. Jim Shady's behind us. Meanwhile, at the police station, they get a call that a train's been stolen, right? So this is where Hong Kong Fooey first learns that maybe something's afoot, that he needs to spring into action here.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the call leads him out to him and Spot out to a train that isn't going to leave yet, but is afraid of being stolen because of all these other trains that have been stolen. So he, of course, goes to the scene, and I love this, man. This scene where he's got a thing with vegetables, right? Where he is always watering vegetables. Seems like wherever he goes.
Yeah, he's got a garden on the roof and just plants in the office.
So when he goes out to this train with Spot, he's like, well, this train's not leaving for a little while. I'm going to go ahead and water these onions and tend to these while I'm waiting. Because, you know, he's trained, so you just got to pay attention to the schedule. And the most comically cartoon thing that could possibly happen is a helicopter comes down with a buzzsaw and cuts everything that's not, like, the front face of the train that's facing Hong Kong Fooey and just steals the rest of the train.
Not even, like, sure how that's useful. You just... What, you stole half of a train? And what, you're going to steal another half and put the two halves together? You're down trains.
And then it was a great moment where Hong Kong turns around and half of the train, you know, the front face, almost like a cardboard stand-up, falls down on him. And he's like, well, they never said anything about stealing part of it. Yuck, yuck, yuck. Good one, dude. All right. So all these trains are being stolen. It seems like the last train that probably is the target is this brand new, I think it was a brand new high-speed train for delivering mail.
Sergeant Flint, it's the railroad. Their new Fast Mail Limited is making its first run today. They want us to furnish a guard.
We can't. All my men are still looking for the last lost train.
I'm afraid the Fast Mail Limited is doomed to fall into the clutches of Rhinestone Jim Shady.
Unless a certain super-duper superhero undooms it on the double.
All aboard the Fast Mail Limited!
So Hong Kong springs into action once again and realizes, like, I have to protect this train. This is the last one we've got here. Like, granted, the way I'm speaking of it, he's not so adamant about saving the day. He's more like, well, guess I'll go see what's up.
Yeah, his it was more, I don't know, by accident, I guess.
Yeah, in a way, by accident. There's some great scenes of him chasing down this train at first, where he's in the Fooey-mobile, which turns into like a rail cart, but at one point it actually turns into a hand cart, which there are not enough hand cart jokes or visuals in popular culture these days. Hand carts are great.
Yeah, they're just so impractical.
Really, yeah, you can't go alone. You kind of need two people.
How do you get it to the train track?
Yeah. I mean, you can't... Sorry, you're like making it way more logistically impossible for me to like this little vehicle.
I had to drive this handcart here. Okay, it's on the tracks. Let's go. Can we just drive? Yeah, I guess. All right.
Oh no, man! I was just bringing it with you here. I wasn't gonna ride it with you. Come on. So he does. He ends up using his Fooey-mobile to track down this new train. Before he even knows it, the train's already been taken over by Jim Shady and his henchmen, Tracks and Shift, I guess, mm-hmm. probably. And so he boards the train. It's when they hear a siren from the Fooey-mobile that the bad guys know, hey, Hong Kong Fooey's here, I know that sound. So they spring into action before Hong Kong can actually get to them. So what ends up happening is Hong Kong boards the train. He's up on top. Another one of these like iconic, what would you do in a train caper moments. Leaps inside and is immediately in a mail sack. He's captured by the bad guys. And there's another cheesy, clever joke here that I don't know why these jokes just tickled me the right way, but mentions like, well, hey, you better let me out of this sack. This is for U.S. mail only. The bad guy's like, well, you're U.S. mail, aren't you?
He's like, yeah, I like that joke, but it's like, no, it's a dog. Like, he's
yeah, but I mean, come on. That's kind of funny.
I'd recognize that anywhere. It's the great Hong Kong Fooey. Look!
Better let me go first, Spot. You ain't as smart and sure-footed as I am. Well, looky here. Somebody forgot to close this trap door. I better jump down and take a look-see inside the car. Thank you kindly, railroad fellas. Now, you better let me out. This sack is strictly for U.S. mail.
Well, you're a U.S. mail, ain't you?
So, we're going to drop you off at the next station.
Yeah, actually, now that you mention it, he is the only animal in this world. It's like a world of people.
Yeah, so you're a dog janitor and Hong Kong Fooey's a dog? I think you might be the same person.
I'm a little concerned here. There's a moment here, too, where you get a great how they used to deliver mail on trains, right? So they stuck him out the window on a hook, and it would just grab onto the next train station and stop there, right? Just a good throwback to kind of the way that used to happen.
I get, yeah. I assume that's how it happened. I've never seen it happen. I've only seen it in movies. And
I'm just going to pretend like that's exactly how it used to happen, because I obviously can't speak to it either. But Spot ends up rescuing him here and grabbing him on the Fooey-mobile. And I think that they track down the train, right? They take it to the center of all trains, apparently, where they've driven this train into Jim Shady, basically.
Right.
So now he has just about every train, or I think now he owns every train. Hong Kong Fooey arrives and says, well, except for this one, which is just his Fooey-mobile, so he doesn't want that.
But it's the hand cart.
It's a handcart at that point.
That's not a train, but okay.
And before taking down the bad guys, Hong Kong Fooey has to consult his Hong Kong Kung Fu book to see, you know, exactly how he should take this 2-on-3 sort of situation that he's in here.
Yeah.
And it's just a comical little battle of, like, he doesn't really do anything, trips over something, you know, and something hits the bad guys in the head, and somehow they end up getting tied up, and like, he saved the day.
Right, yeah.
He didn't really have to do anything. There is one final scene once he gets back to the police station, and he's digging a new garden out front, and hits the water main and splashes all over the Sarge, and he's like, well, Sarge, you did say you wanted the first thing I dug up, so here you go. Another thing that didn't happen in this episode, but apparently happens in many others, is you know how because he's so clumsy when he becomes Hong Kong Fooey, he quickly like flies out and hits something or bumps into someone or something. There are people who like it's a privilege to be inconvenienced by being hit by Hong Kong Fooey because he's a superhero.
Oh, yeah. They're like, oh, I'm sorry, Hong Kong Fooey. Sorry.
Yeah. Gosh, there was a reference in some of the reading I was doing to one episode where he completely interrupts, like, a construction site had just, like, finished pouring wet cement, and they're like, boy, it feels real good to have a full day's work ruined by the great Hong Kong Fooey. Like, they're so happy that he ruined their day.
Yeah.
So, kind of a funny world. This was Hong Kong Fooey, Season 1, Episode 13, The Great Choo Choo Robbery. Brad, we talked quite a bit about it, but generally, what do you think of the show?
Hong Kong Fooey is just silly. I've seen a lot of Hong Kong Fooey. It's just been on in the background, like, growing up. Like, it's... You don't remember episodes. They are just kind of... It's a throwaway show, but it's just kind of goofy, and you can't really get mad at it, I guess.
Yeah. I've never seen somebody mad at Hong Kong Fooey.
Duh, I hate Hong Kong Fooey. It's so stupid and blah, blah, blah.
Fooey. I did see it had a pretty catchy theme song, and apparently in 1995 Sublime made a cover of the theme song, which was really fun.
Right, that would have been on the Saturday morning, like one of those volumes that like the punk rock people put out.
Oh, you knew this was a thing already?
Yeah, there's been a couple volumes of that.
Yeah, it said it was on that volume, that album of like, yeah, Saturday morning covers.
Yeah.
Sweet. Well, I had a really good time with the show. There's something about sometimes when you're watching a show, it's just what you're looking for. And this has that classic feel of a Saturday morning cartoon, what it should feel like, you know, with the just even the way that the cartoon moves, the way the background scroll, the sort of like there is truly an art form to the way the animation is done with the characters. But it's also that it's a little bit stiff too. It's a little bit unfinished by today's standards, maybe not quite as clean, and there's something awesome about that.
Okay.
I don't know. I just had a good feeling watching the show. I guarantee I've seen some Hong Kong Fooey, but he's a character I know, but he's not a character I'm familiar with watching a lot of. So definitely cool to see it. And man, now I want to like research a bunch of stuff about trains and stuff. I don't know. I don't know why I'm like suddenly super into trains and Japanese wrestling, I guess.
You have a basement, so you just start, you know.
Oh yeah.
Build a giant train down there.
Dude, like one of those trains that like goes around the top of the like the room.
Sure.
Like up on the wall. Sure, man. Yeah, whatever. I'm gonna put a little handcart on it too.
Yeah, there you go. It's just a handcart. It's not even this is a train track and a handcart that goes around. You're like, I just love handcarts.
But it's like really loud. It's just like clack, 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 clack all day. Like, why did I get this? This was stupid. All right. We're totally done talking about the cartoon. So let's get out of here. Brad, where can people find out more about you when you're not recording Toon Talk Weekly?
So you can follow me on Twitter. It's at Brad. And my blog is digitalhitchhiker.com.
Great. You guys can follow me on Twitter at Jacob Williams and my blog, jakewilliams.tumblr.com. Of course, the show, if you want more Toon Talk Weekly, we're on Twitter at Toon Talk Weekly. On Facebook at facebook.com/ToonTalkWeekly. Of course, if you're still on Google Plus, we are too. We're Toon Talk Weekly over there as well. Our email, if you want to let us know some other fun episodes of Hong Kong Fooey or other fun popular culture references to the show, because we had a good time with it, email us at toontalkweekly@gmail.com. And finally, the website, toontalkweekly.com, the main hub for the show that's got links to every single episode we've done for the last 3 or 4 years. I'm losing count now, but it's all there if you guys want to go back and listen to them. They're pretty timeless because you can watch those cartoons anytime and catch up to what we thought of them too.
For sure, yeah.
So that's going to do it for this week's episode of Hong Kong Fooey. Next week, I don't even know what to think of this show because I've never heard of it until I dug it up. It's a 90s show called Mega Babies.
Mega Babies. Okay, so, all right. I'm going to assume it's like giant babies.
I mean, you can pretty much go with there. And maybe, depending on how that goes, maybe we follow up that week with Muppet Babies. Oh. And like, just do Month of Babies.
Month of Babies. You got babies on your mind? Uh-oh.
No. Okay. That's enough of this. So thank you guys for joining us for another episode of Toon Talk Weekly. We'll be back next week with another cartoon.
Take care.
To learn more about the show, visit ToonTalkWeekly.com or follow us on Twitter at ToonTalkWeekly.